This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Moments of Clarity with Tiffany Werner, licensed mental health counselor in the state of Florida. Moments of Clarity's mission is to educate and end the stigma on mental health through the inspirational stories of our exceptional guests. You can join in the show by calling Tiffany toll-free at 866-826-1340 or on Facebook and Twitter at MOC with Tiffany. Now, here's Tiffany Werner.
Hi, and thanks for listening. If you're just tuning in, this is Moments of Clarity. My name is Tiffany Werner. I'm a licensed mental health counselor, and I'm your host. And today I have a very special guest in studio with me, and we're going to be talking about inspirational hope. And it's a phenomenal story that really touched my heart and so many others. And I'm excited to have them in studio today. And all the way from Virginia. Right? And now it's cold, so I was like, did you bring the cold weather with you?
I think we did.
Before I introduce my guest, I would like to say hi to Ed behind the glass and say hi, Ed.
On a nice, cool Friday.
It is. And thanks for all you do. And also, my guest today, she wrote a memoir. You call it a memoir, right? Mm-hmm. It's called Struggling with Serendipity. And it's a story that started off very tragic a long time ago, and right. Where accidents can be life-changing.
Definitely.
And then turn into such inspirational hope where if you don't give up, then there's hope, right?
Right.
And I want to welcome to Moments of Clarity, Cindy Colby and her husband, John. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Tiffany. Thanks for having us. And yeah, I got to say, it's so great to meet you in person.
Oh, thanks.
I've
you
watched
too.
Your shows, and you've had me on before with the story, even before it was a book.
Yeah.
You were one of the first supporters. I wanted to thank you for that and for the opportunity to be here in person today.
Oh, well, thanks for traveling all the way to come here. And it's an honor to meet you in person, too. I mean, who's not going to support this story? It's amazing. So let's start from the beginning, because mm-hmm. I know the listeners are kind of anxious, like, what are they talking about?
Right.
But struggling with serendipity, and I know it started off for you one night traveling with your kids from a wrestling match with your son?
It was a college concert that my son was in at Ohio State. It was late at night. We were 5-6 minutes from home, literally. And I fell asleep at the wheel. And, you know, we hear about these life-changing moments. Everybody has them. But it still is amazing how the whole world can change in a moment. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel it really did for us. And not just for me and my youngest daughter who was injured in the accident, but for our whole family, for our friends, it's had such a widespread impact. Mm-hmm. And of course, initially, it was tragic. It was a 14-year-old.
So who was in the car with you first?
Yes, right. Okay, my two daughters and a friend. And my youngest daughter, Beth, was in the front seat. And she sustained a C6-7 spinal cord injury, which is...
leads you to kind of as a quadriplegic, right?
Right. It's one of the worst kinds. A spinal cord injury in the neck. She's quadriplegic, limited arm function, and no finger function to speak of. Mm-hmm. She can move one finger a few inches up and down. So life-changing. And it's mm-hmm. not just the paralysis piece of it. It's it changes how your body organs function. You know, it's a far-reaching injury. Far beyond paralysis. So at first,
she was 14.
She was 14. But you know, the amazing start to this story is from immediately after the accident. You know, we're upside down, for God's sake.
And when'd you hit?
I hit a ditch at the side of the road, and we flipped 3 times. And Beth is telling me, Mom, I'm okay. It's going to be okay. And just kind of like that tone of voice, like, she's calm. It's okay. It's going to be fine. And I was not there. I was not feeling that at that moment.
You said that just looking at her, you could tell she was injured somehow.
Oh, right. Because even after I undid her seatbelt and she was laying on the roof of the car, just the angle of her neck. You know, her neck was broken and shattered. You know, they had trouble putting plates in, that finding enough bone to put the plates in to support her neck. So, right. So you experience that. It changes everything. But what led our journey, we let Beth lead the way because she was the only one in our family that really believed everything was going to be okay. I thought nothing was ever going to be okay again. I mean, really.
Plus, you must have been crushed with guilt.
Oh,
and
definitely.
And feeling accountable for that and responsible.
Exactly. And with,
as a mother, I mean, that must have been heart-wrenching.
It was. And also with quadriplegia, there's many, many health risks, deadly health risks. So it's very scary. So much anxiety, you know, what's going to happen next? You know, this terrible thing happened, you know. I just felt like every moment I was on edge, okay, what's going to happen next? Every time the phone rang, every time, you know, I was with Beth in the hospital and the doctor examined her, is like always that anxiety about what was next, what worse thing was coming. So I had experienced depression before the accident, which obviously was... became a much bigger problem.
Yeah, it probably exacerbated
exactly.
that after all of that, especially situational depression.
Right.
And life-changing events can really trigger symptoms of depression.
Exactly. And with the anxiety.
John, where were you with this, too?
Right.
Yeah.
John was amazing. He was my rock during the time. He just was always there. But you probably have some thoughts on this,
well,
too.
People had come to me and around that time and said, you know, you folks are all doing so well. You just must be an amazing family. And I usually answered just by saying, Elizabeth is carrying me on her shoulders.
Hmm.
Because she was. She really was.
I think she's that kind of child?
You know, I don't know where that inner strength came from, but after the accident, it sure blossomed. I think it was about the second day in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It was my task to kind of lay it out for her and tell her, you know, the stark reality of her paralysis. And the first thing she said was, let's not talk about what I can't do. Let's talk about what I can do.
Wow, that's a bell. I love that.
And one of the things she said was, you know, I can still sing and, you know, that kind of thing. She just sort of had that can-do attitude, which, you know, we look back on it now and we can... explain it. You know, you have two choices, right? You know, you can sort of give up and everything, or, you know, you're in eighth grade, you can go forward. And boy, she went forward. She rehabbed that summer in Green Springs. She had an exceptional physical therapist, Lorraine Bauer, and her staff in Green Springs, small town Ohio. And then, you know, the end of the summer, her friends are going to high school.
Huh.
Now, she could have just stayed home and still rehabbed and, you know, got stronger, but she just decided, no, I'm going to high school. And that was kind of typical for all the way. It was just, you know, today's another day, let's go forward.
Uh-huh. And meanwhile, I'm assuming that throughout time, she's developed more capabilities, but at first...
Right, at first, she could hardly move. Right, it takes a long time to build up even a small amount of strength after a spinal cord injury.
And that relearn how to do everything.
Exactly. And she was determined to become more independent, and nobody thought that was even really a possibility for her. But at the same time, nobody told her she couldn't do it either.
Mm-hmm.
So it took her a long time, but... she kept that as her goal, and you know, she achieved it after about 4.5 years, which is really rare for someone with her level of disability, because it takes so much persistence. I write in the book about failing. Someone like myself, if I fail at something a couple times, I'm not very likely to keep trying. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have that kind of a drive to keep going. Something that I write about in the book is that Beth was the opposite, because there were so many things that she couldn't do, A to Z, little things even. Putting her hair up in a ponytail, it bothered her. She was 14 and she wanted to put her hair up in a ponytail. That bothered her more than other things about her disability. But the way that she approached it, instead of, you know, trying it several times with occupational therapists and failing, and she didn't give up. So every day she would try herself to put her hair up. And even just positioning to be able to do that, you know, she didn't have balance. She couldn't control her body. So she had to kind of get in a position where she could lean back so she wouldn't fall out of her chair, to be able to put her hands up and try to do something with them. So she tried to put her hair up every day several times, and then she would hand it to me and I would put it up. Well, after 2 years, she figured out how to do it.
You know,
just that kind of persistence. But it is a testament to what can be done if you have persistence and if you don't give up.
Yeah, and that's not even the most accomplished thing she's achieved, although that was probably very tedious.
Right.
I want to welcome callers to call in 866-826-1340, 866-826-1340. If you have anything you want to add in or share or ask questions.
Sure.
866-826-1340. And so it's time for our first break, but it's amazing. For the listeners, I want to say that I've heard this story before. And her daughter Beth is just gorgeous and went on to do some really phenomenal things that some of us, even without spinal cord injury, could never do. So this is crazy. It's crazy inspirational. It's a wonderful way to start the weekend. And I encourage you to stay tuned. And we'll be back with Moments of Clarity in just a moment.
You're listening to Moments of Clarity with Tiffany Werner. We welcome your input at 866-826-1340. Tiffany will be right back after this. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you or your loved one suffering from addiction to drugs or alcohol? My name is Steven Sundquist, and I am a recovered addict. You are not alone. My team of dedicated professionals at All In Solutions Counseling Center is waiting to help you. With our evidence-based services, you can rely on us to help get your life back. We accept most major insurances and offer a variety of treatment options. Call now, 561-289-0779. Again, that number is 561-289-0779. 3 years ago, I made the call. Will you?
Do you ask yourself any of these questions? Will I ever be able to get out of debt? Will I ever be able to retire? How am I going to pay for my children's education? How do I begin saving for my family's future? And if something were to happen to me, will my family be taken care of? Have you struggled in finding the answers? Forever Forward Financial can help answer these and many more questions about your financial future by teaching you how money works, by providing you the financial education you seek, by assisting you in making the right retirement or educational decisions that are best for you and your family, and by helping you take the necessary steps in establishing and meeting your financial goals. Please call us today and schedule your complimentary, no obligation meeting to discuss your needs and concerns. The number, 727-422-7761.
Hi, this is Tiffany Werner, your host of Moments of Clarity. Living with a mental health disorder is not easy. If you or someone you know are struggling with this, please know it's so important to seek treatment, and I'm here to help. Please visit the website at momentsofclaritywithtiffany.com to view blog posts and resources on this site to help educate and inspire you to take action, because there's no shame in seeking help for mental health. While you're there, please take a few seconds to sign up for my email list. You'll get some extremely valuable educational and entertaining content that can be sent right to your inbox each week. Plus, you'll also get instant and free access to my guide on managing your anxiety. You can also follow me on Twitter at MOC with Tiffany and at Facebook at Tiffany Warner. And once again, the website is momentsofclaritywithtiffany.com. Thank you so much for your support and for listening to your show, because change can only come when we stand together as one.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back to Moments of Clarity with Tiffany Warner. To join in the discussion, call 866-826-1340. Now, here's Tiffany Warner.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Moments of Clarity. My name is Tiffany Warner. I'm a licensed mental health counselor, and I'm your host. My guests today have experienced a very tragic beginning in life. Well, not so much beginning, but I got tongue-tied for a second, but that in one night, Cindy was driving with her children in the car and just 5 minutes from home, fell asleep at the wheel, hit a ditch, and her youngest daughter, Beth, was mm-hmm. in the front seat and had a spinal cord injury that left her as a quadriplegic at mm-hmm. the time. And it changed their lives forever. And she published this book about it called Struggling with Serendipity, which I highly recommend. And I've just been fascinated with this story since I've ever come across Cindy, which was a couple years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And she's come a long way. And her husband, John's here with us. And I want to welcome back Cindy Colby, if I didn't already say that. So, struggling with serendipity. So where we left off, and this is the fascinating part of the whole story that this family has gone through so much and accomplished so much. But their daughter, Beth, at age 14, had a spinal cord injury. Mm-hmm. And is Beth listening? She can call in. She called in last time. Yes. 866-826-1340, Beth. I would love for you to join us. But anyway, so after that, then she moved on to high school. And mm-hmm. let's talk about what her accomplishments are, because it's just mind-blowing.
Right. And I'd like to go back for just a second with the high school, with those steps in the persistence and learning to do things, because part of what opened up her future was swimming. And that was not on our radar at all as a possibility. But what happened, she was a volleyball player before the accident, not a swimmer, but she did rehab in the warm water pool and loved it. Freedom of movement. Mm-hmm. It was because at that time it was so hard to push a manual wheelchair on land. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's up in Ohio, right?
So right.
There's no flat land like it is in Florida. I mean, there's hills and.
Well, our part of Ohio was pretty flat.
Okay. Well, that's
but even
good.
With flat, with that it's was hard to move that chair at first. It was a struggle. So there was a process through high school of her first learning to float on her back, and then moving her arms underwater just to move in the water, and she loved it. So she'd ask often to go to the YMCA just to float across the pool back and forth. Well, I'm going to fast forward, but it started happening about 2 years after her injury. She went to the wheelchair games, and that is a great event, and it's for people with disabilities of all ages, but it's also a social event and not known to be real competitive mm-hmm. kind of event. It's just more of a fun event.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes, and the serendipity part starts to come in so often in our story at this point, and then it just repeats and repeats and repeats. And in this case, there was a national team coach at the wheelchair games and his wife, who was a Paralympic swimmer. And they immediately both took an interest in Beth and said, okay, in 1 month you need to be in Seattle. You know, we live in Ohio, and we're like, what? Go to Seattle? Long story short, we did, to a national swim meet. The coach told her, go and see the possibilities. And we went, and boy, she did. Amazing swimmers with all kinds of different physical abilities. And it's different from Special Olympics. Special Olympics is a competitive venue for people with cognitive disabilities. Paralympics focuses on people with physical disabilities. Hmm. So that began kind of an odyssey of sorts with swimming. And she was determined to learn to swim all the strokes, and there was a long process of doing just that. And nobody knew if she even could swim forward on her stomach. You know, mm-hmm. you can imagine it.
You have to move your arms.
Right, but your legs are dragging. Right. You know, you're pulling your body. So she can't kick her legs, right? No, the legs don't move at all. So they're dragging. And also she can't cup the water with her hands. You know, like swimmers do to pull the water. Mm-hmm. So that's been an amazing part of her story. So by the time she was a senior in high school, she was on the U.S. Paralympic national swim team. Wow. And she was on that for 5 years, traveled the world, and set records, earned medals internationally. And also just became an incredible swimmer. Her freestyle is beautiful.
She's able to do that?
To the forward freestyle.
Wow. Yeah.
That's her favorite stroke now. Another thing with that.
It's all about the ponytail.
Oh, really?
She practiced her arms that long.
Yes, strengthened her arms. That probably did help, actually. But you know, there's similar stories with the ponytail, with putting on a swim cap, you know, with so many things.
Right.
That, you know, took years for her to do, but she did. And the swimming took her to more places and opened the world for more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
One of those was Harvard. And that, we saw a billboard at that first meet in Seattle. Was so unusual. So I'm driving in my first rental car ever. We're traveling with a wheelchair for the first time ever. And Beth is in the passenger seat. We're driving from the Seattle airport to our hotel. And she goes, "Wait, Mom, look at that billboard." And I look. It's a picture of a woman in a power chair in a graduation gown. And the caption on it says, "Quadriplegia at Harvard, A+." And it was just like, oh, that's just so unusual, right? Unusual. And then a few months later, we started doing swim meets. A few months later in Indianapolis, we saw the same billboard. And again, a few months later, and that planted a seed.
Right.
But she never thought she would get in.
Harvard. A lot of people don't think that they're going to get in.
No. So that was...
But the same billboard keeps popping up.
That was a game changer, too. No, Harvard. For all of us.
You ever think one of your kids are going to go to Harvard?
No. you know, she was interviewed by a regional Harvard person. You know, they interview you at a neutral site. They don't want to have any bias or anything like that. And he said something to her... that such as, you know, these interviews are usually fairly short, and we've been talking for, you know, hour and a half, and I just want to say I'm really impressed. He said, "I don't know how much weight my, you know, recommendation will make." And so we, you know, we just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we, Cindy and I were looking at the cost, and what would we have to, how many times would we have to mortgage our house?
Right.
You know, but we just said, you know, if this is meant to be, then, you know, we'll make sure it happens.
Right.
And yeah, sure enough, so she was accepted and
into Harvard.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't it Harvard Law?
Well, she did Harvard undergrad. She did go on to law school later. Now she chose Stanford, which was she loved
California.
she loved Stanford, but it
great
but
weather.
It, yeah, it, but you know, it really was. Another life changer and a serendipity kind of thing for our whole family. My youngest daughter, my oldest daughter, Maria, is a special ed teacher. She decided to move to the Boston area after she graduated from college in Ohio.
Mm.
And then when John retired in Ohio, John and I moved out to the East Coast to be closer to the kids. So it really was a an expanding kind of experience for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially for me because I became a Red Sox fan.
That's true.
which was a stretch initially. But right. we did go to Fenway. That was typical, too, of Beth. The first time we went to Fenway, we didn't even know how to get to our seats, and we wheeled up and found ourselves by the home run fence in the back. And we didn't know this, but the players were there, and they were signing, autographs and having pictures taken with fans. And so she wheeled right up and, you know, just became part of it. It was so typical of Beth, you know. I did want to mention about the swimming. One of the best parts of that was the Paralympics in Beijing that she swam at and did very well. And Cindy was able to travel also to Beijing. Mm-hmm. Actually got to see a little more of the real Beijing than Beth did because they kind of kept close control of the athletes, you know.
Uh-huh. They only have a short time for being tourists.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, because you have that, if it's the Olympics, that's right, amazing.
Right.
It's all amazing. It's just like, I empathize and my heart goes out to you just thinking that, you know, close your eyes for a second behind the wheel. And then,
can happen?
You're like, oh my goodness, why, what was I doing? Or I don't know, those things. And then, I mean, by the grace of God, all of these wonderful things came out of it too. And it's almost as if it was meant to be. But at the time of the accident, it probably didn't seem like that.
No,
then.
No, it didn't feel like that at all.
How have you been through all of it?
Right. Well, I'm good now, I guess I should say first.
Because it's been how many years? Yes, how old is Beth now?
Well, almost 20 years.
Yeah.
So so she's almost 34.
And she just got married and a beautiful wedding last year.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. She's a lawyer in D.C. and she does pro bono work for disability businesses and nonprofits. So that she's really passionate about giving back. And we both are. We both, soon after the accident, started volunteering and trying to do more. The disability community is incredible. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we've met so many people that we're grateful, you know, for that.
A lot of times when tragic things happen to people, the way to recover and to find stability in mental health is to reach out and give back to the community and therapy
advocacy
or motivational speaking, that kind of stuff.
Right. I've connected with mental health nonprofits, and one of them A2A Alliance. Mm-hmm. Their motto is we help ourselves by helping others, and mm-hmm. I really believe that. For me, it's really been a journey with mental health because for so long I was in denial about depression. It's like, oh no, you know, what does the doctor know? And you know, and I had the old stigma attached to it, where I thought at first that it made me weak. It somehow made me ungrateful, and that was the last thing that I was. I had, you know, three kids. I loved being a mom. I love my husband, So it was really uncomfortable for me to think about that I had long-term depression. But the more I learned about it and understood it, you know, the more I could start to accept that, yes, this is part of who I am, mm-hmm. and that I need to manage it and I need to take care of myself.
Right. Well, there's a lot of physical symptoms that come that people just assume that or think that depression means suicidal thoughts or sadness all the time or excessive crying, which are symptoms of it, but that's not it. I mean, a lot of it is loss of interest that we used to enjoy doing or feeling fatigued or tired all the time or unmotivated or pessimistic or easily irritable.
Right, and it's also so easy to feel isolated and isolate yourself perhaps even on purpose to not want to deal with challenges that you have, but isolation is not the way to go.
Right.
I hid it for a long time. In fact, part of the process of the book was being honest with my family about my experiences during that time.
It seems pretty, I could understand, is what I'm trying to say, that if you were to put your own needs on the back burner at the time, because you were caring for your daughter and your family and not wanting to make it about you or whatever.
Exactly. But, you know, I've, through the advocacy work I've done and volunteering, like right now I'm a peer mentor for the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, and I'm a mentor for
what
other.
What is that?
It's a national nonprofit that Christopher Reeve founded years ago for research and support.
Oh, Christopher Reeve. Okay, I misunderstood it first.
Yes.
Superman.
Yes. Yes. And he had a spinal cord injury. And
that was from horse riding accident, right?
Exactly. And he set up this foundation to support research and to support families. It's a wonderful nonprofit. And so my small role in that is to be a peer mentor for other moms who have kids with spinal cord injuries. Mm-hmm. Because that initial time can be so devastating, and it's so critical to not turn to isolation and
self-loathing.
Well, and despair, yeah. In a sense. You know, like there's losing hope. Losing hope can go along with that isolation pretty easily. And also to understand that there are possibilities and options and doors that you can open, you know, to kind of, for another kind of life that you would not have picked, perhaps, of course, but can be a good life nonetheless.
Hindsight's 2020, right?
Right, exactly.
And what you're doing with your life now is something you probably never expected to do 20 years ago, but, I mean, would you change it for anything now?
No, I wouldn't. And, you know, it's interesting, Beth wouldn't either. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, I think you'd have to know her to understand that completely. Mm-hmm. But her whole life since the accident has been
just, serendipity.
Yes, very good. Perfect. Yeah, that's the perfect word. It really has. Some people have a gift for attracting serendipity. She certainly does. But also, there's another component of that, and it's also that persistence, and it's that working hard to achieve a goal, and that we all have the opportunity to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, right.
Everyone's kind of good at something, right?
Exactly. And finding your passion is so important, because that's, I think, what adds meaning to our lives.
Mm-hmm. And gives us a sense of purpose.
Right.
And makes us feel good, like we're leaving a legacy. Right. So did Beth get into Harvard because of swimming, because of being on a swim team, or academics, or both?
Well, yeah, I think both. But I think what I guess I was trying to say before with how the swimming influenced that is it also started, she was a shy, quiet kid before the accident. And she gradually, with this injury and with making these small gains and small progress, and figuring out how to swim, she gained confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was also a key component to getting into Harvard for her. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to go to an interview like she did and just be excited to talk to the guy about the volunteer work she's doing, and about swimming, and about her life, and about possibilities, and what she wanted to do in the future. And that's what I would love to see, you know, all teenagers with spinal cord injuries, you know, find your passion and find your confidence. Not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're dealing with so many other things, just trying to get your body to do what you want it to do. But there are possibilities.
With most of us, we look back and at the time of going through the most tragic things of our lives, it sucks. It's the worst thing ever. But then later on, those are the most proud moments that we go through later on, looking back and saying, I did that.
Right.
I made it through that, and it wasn't easy. And I think that's what's really a big confidence builder, is when we have the ability to surprise ourselves and say,
exactly.
Wow, I did that. I can do that. And what else can I do? And like how John said that, she's like, don't tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I can do.
Right.
And
right.
She wanted to see. I mean, overcoming just
limits.
Even... And that's a big confidence builder. It's great for self-esteem.
It is. That certainly was a big part of my story, because after the accident, I couldn't talk about the story. I couldn't stand in front of a group and tell about, you know, the power of hope, or the fact that there is hope even when you can't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, the situation that you must have been feeling at the time, I mean,
right. Well,
it's hard for anyone to even think about, like, that, put yourselves
right.
in your shoes at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out great, but at the time, I mean.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there's still a lot of people in the spinal cord injury community where there's still so much anxiety about, well, what's going to happen tomorrow health-wise. Now, I believe that with Beth, she was so focused early on learning to swim, becoming a better swimmer, and part of that, she understood, her coaches were telling her, and she understood, was being as healthy as possible. She took that seriously, and I believe all of that combined have, you know, she's healthy, she's you know, she wheels 25 minutes to work, you know, one way. Those things, I think, have been the difference that Beth and the family, you know, we're not worrying every day, oh my God, is she going to be in the hospital tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to happen? She's active, she knows how to avoid, or how to reduce her risks, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very aware of that. Like, even if she's sitting at her desk at work, you know, she's going to move her legs and make sure there's not, she's not going to give a blood clot a chance to, you know, form there. She's very in tune with all that, and that has allowed it, that daily anxiety, which was horrible for me. I mean, I don't know, she didn't really ever really worry about it. I think teenagers think they're invulnerable. But a lot of the moms and parents I talk to, I mean, that's a definite issue. If you don't know if there's going to be a deadly kind of health risk come up, if you're going to lose them. I mean, that was always a fear of mine, that those first 2 years.
And I just wanted to underline the swimming itself. I mean, she was getting up at 5:30 in the morning at Harvard and getting to the Blodgett pool early and swimming, you know, an hour and a half, and you know, several times a week, you know, and so this obviously physically just had a wonderful effect, you know, that upper body, shoulders and strength that grew. But also, I'm sure, just the de-stressing aspect of that kind of exercise also played a role.
Mm-hmm.
But
when she was at Harvard, she was the first one on the Harvard women's swimming and diving team with a visible disability or a physical disability.
First one ever?
Yeah,
wow.
And not alone, you know, and in a wheelchair. You know, so that was... that was pretty incredible. You know, Division I school, she'd never score a point, and they knew that. But there was an article in the NCAA magazine that about her and some of the other Paralympians who swim on college teams, and they were talking about, you know, there's an added level of excitement at the college meets when one of your swimmers is setting an American record. And Beth did that several times at Blodgett, and her teammates were just great. You know, they'd be at the end of the lane cheering her on, and it was a great experience.
Yeah, those events were sanctioned, so...
Right, it all counted.
That almost brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
me too. You know, when I watched a lot of those, I was very emotional.
I bet. And wow, you guys must be so proud. It's time for our second break, and we're going to get more into this, but we're late for a break because it's just so mesmerizing. Callers are still welcome to call in 866-826-1340, and we're going to go to our second break, and we'll be back with Moments of Clarity in just a moment.
We will return to Moments of Clarity with Tiffany Werner after these messages.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you or your loved one suffering from addiction to drugs or alcohol? My name is Steven Sundquist, and I am a recovered addict. You are not alone. My team of dedicated professionals at All In Solutions Counseling Center is waiting to help you. With our evidence-based services, you can rely on us to help get your life back. We accept most major insurances and offer a variety of treatment options. Call now, 561-289-0779. Again, that number is 561-289-0779. 3 years ago, I made the call. Will you?
Are you looking for a great book? If you like to root for the underdog, Joe Potosi's book is a book for you. A real American odyssey that will grab your attention with its fast-moving narrative. You won't be able to put this masterpiece down. When the Dust Settled by Joe Potosi. Go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Zulin Press.
Hi, this is Tiffany Werner, your host of Moments of Clarity. Living with a mental health disorder is not easy. If you or someone you know are struggling with this, please know it's so important to seek treatment, and I'm here to help. Please visit the website at momentsofclaritywithtiffany.com to view blog posts and resources on this site to help educate and inspire you to take action, because there's no shame in seeking help for mental health. While you're there, please take a few seconds to sign up for my email list. You'll get some extremely valuable educational and entertaining content that can be sent right to your inbox each week. Plus, you'll also get instant and free access to my guide on managing your anxiety. You can also follow me on Twitter at MOC with Tiffany and at Facebook at Tiffany Werner. And once again, the website is momentsofclaritywithtiffany.com. Thank you so much for your support and for listening to your show, because change can only come when we stand together as one. Hi, this is Tiffany Werner, your host of Moments of Clarity. I'd like to give a shout out to musician, songwriter, Don Lawson, who wrote, produced, and performed all the vocals and instruments on my Moments of Clarity theme song. Don gained his inspiration as a mental health counselor himself. He's always looking for artists to record his songs, and you can hear more of Don's music at reverbnation.com/Don Lawson. You can also check him out on Twitter at Don Lawson Music. Thank you so much, Don, for your contribution to Moments of Clarity and ending the stigma on mental health. It's awesome.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Now back to Moments of Clarity with Tiffany Werner, licensed mental health counselor. To engage in the conversation, call 866-826-1340. Here's Tiffany.
Hi, and welcome back. And if you're just tuning in, this is Moments of Clarity. And my name's Tiffany Werner. I'm a licensed mental health counselor, and I'm your host. And I'm sitting here with John and Cindy Colby. And Cindy is the author of Struggling with Serendipity. And it's a book all about hope and triumph and struggling with, not only serendipity, finding the signs in life and going with them, but how to take care of your own mental health as well and not put yours on the back burner. And I'm going to welcome back to Moments of Clarity, Cindy Colby and John Colby. Thank you guys so much for being here. So we were talking about the book, and I think we were going to mention something about that, but that Cindy started writing this probably as a therapeutic approach from her daughter being in a tragic accident right. at a young age and really overcoming some obstacles as a paraplegic and ending up on in the Olympics as a swimmer and going to Harvard and is now a lawyer and Stanford and stuff right. that, you know, and on top of that, learning how to live again and walk and put her hair up in a ponytail and do, you know, basic tasks. Yeah. And the book talks a little bit about that, but so much more. And John, what were you going to comment about that?
Initially, Cindy just felt the need to write the story about 10 years ago. And she wrote it third person, and it was a wonderful list of events, the things that have happened to Beth, a lot of serendipity, as we see in the title. I've always known, you know, Cindy is a good writer, a gifted writer, in my opinion. And she made the decision in that process to write the story in first person and write it as a mother's memoir. And, of course, I'm a retired teacher now, and I'm home, and she's writing this, and I watched her for 8 years, literally, you know, daily, work on the story. And she would
8 years, huh?
Yes. And she would hand me things to read, and So for me, just, you know, proofing content or whatever, or just getting, she just would want a reaction. I was reading things for the first time that I didn't know, because she was being so honest about her depression. Mm. And there were times that we were sitting in our little house in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and I'm reading these things, and I'm getting teary-eyed just reading it. Just like, right. Oh my goodness, I was there, but I didn't understand it this way. I didn't feel this.
Right, and the reason for that is because I didn't want, we've had talks about this, because, but the whole family, Beth too, has mentioned that, you know, after reading the book, there's parts of it that kind of made her feel bad that she didn't know. Mm-hmm. But she didn't know because I didn't want anybody to know. At that point, I didn't even feel worthy of getting help. You know, I was just in that really bad place where not only depression, but anxiety, and I thought that I didn't understand what depression was, so I thought that it made me weak. And I also didn't want to, I thought it would be a burden if I shared it with my family, and that's wrong, you know, I mean, from...
Right, you're struggling on your own.
Right, right. You really do need to reach out and get support. Mm-hmm. And
you would have been stronger for Beth if you
would have
taken care of yourself as well.
Exactly.
But you didn't want it to make it about you or whatever.
Right,
or
right. That. But you know, you can ask for help, even if there's someone else in your family. Like at that time, I thought, well, you know, it's all about Beth. You know, I just felt such a need just to support her in every possible way I could. And that was what I needed to do. There was nothing wrong with that. But I also needed to take care of myself to be able to do that better, to mm-hmm. be able to take care of her better. And that's something with the caregivers I talk to. That's a really common mm-hmm. thing. But you are a better caregiver if you mm-hmm. do take care of yourself, even start counseling, learn how to manage.
Yeah, I mean, well, and being a caregiver is so exhausting.
Right.
Like just on its own, especially for mm-hmm. the rest of your life, you know.
Right, right.
It's not just post-surgery or something like that, you know.
Exactly. And there are a lot of long-term caregivers out there that I've... That's been one great thing about the book is all the contact with all the people who've read the book and have connected to it in some way. Even people don't have, haven't had a similar experience. You know, they're telling me that they, you know, it has spoken to them. So
inspired
I appreciate that.
You inspired me, and I haven't even read the whole book yet. I get to now, though.
Yes, yeah, this is yours.
and I wanted to mention the story may take on a different venue.
Oh, right.
So go ahead, Cindy.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know we have 4 minutes, okay, so that's what I was telling us.
Okay, there's a movie producer who is visiting us, and she's bringing a contract to option the book for a movie. So we're very excited about that. And we'll see what happens with that. In the meantime, if anybody's interested in checking it out, my website, strugglingwithserendipity.com. There's also a blog there, and there's a page where there's signed copies of the book available.
Strugglingwithserendipity.com. And how can people find you also? Do the website or Facebook as well?
Yeah, I'm everywhere. So Facebook, Twitter. And probably the easiest way is to go to my website, and there's a Contact Me page, which has all my social media and my email. I love to hear from people. And I am still doing book events around the country. I'll be at the Buildings Expos coming up.
You were just in one in Orlando, right?
Right. Yesterday I did a memoir writing workshop. And I have workshops coming up in New York City and Toronto. So I'm excited about that.
And you just told me that you did This Is My Brave and shared your story on there.
I did. Great organization. I've been reaching out and volunteering with more mental health and disability nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. Look at you. I'm so proud of you. You're helping so many people, and you've gone through so much. And best part. And for you, John, you've been kind of the backbone in all of this.
But yes. I've been saying for years that, and this is honest and truthful and just a little biased, but Cindy is a force for good.
Yeah,
in the
I
universe,
agree.
She really is.
Uh-huh. I've seen that really from is. Day one.
I'm passionate
Very
about
humble,
sharing
but...
a message of hope, and I hope that's what people get from it.
I love people that are just phenomenal that don't really believe it or don't think it too. You know, modesty
also,
goes a long way.
I also want to shout out to Beth too. I mean, she's shown us so much with her strength and perseverance. And we have another strong daughter, Maria, that is passionate about her work with
special ed.
So,
and you were a teacher.
And a wonderful son, too. So, I mean, yeah, our family. I'm so proud of everyone. I really am. Yep.
I know. And it's a phenomenal story. Struggling with Serendipity. And I encourage all of you to purchase it. And you can purchase it, a signed copy off strugglingwithserendipity.com. And Cindy and John Colby, and thank you so much. And that's K-O-L-B-E, just for you guys. And what a wonderful way to start the weekend. It just brings a tear to my eye, warms my heart. And thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you, John, for being here.
Thank you.
And
it's been fun.
Yeah, it goes by fast, doesn't it? And we'll be back every Thursday and Friday, 12 to 1. Thank you, Ed, for everything. And please be kind to yourself and to especially a stranger. You never know what they're going through. Take care. Thank you.
You get to define. Find self-love. You're so alive. Now it clicks. Moments of clarity. Now I hear. Moments of clarity. Now I get it. Moments of clarity. To yourself be kind. It will please your mind. Hope is following you. Don't abandon yourself.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Taliban peace agreement, the 2020 race. I'm Ann Cates. The U.S. and the Taliban will sign a peace pact on February 29th after a week-long period of reduced violence in Afghanistan. Correspondent Barbara Starr.
This first part is still going to be very challenging.